Turn, if you have your Bibles, to John's first epistle in the third chapter. 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3, and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. First John really is a wonderful book. We can say that, of course, of all scripture. But in particular, and if there was a highlight of First John, I think this might be it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. I think the NIV says lavished upon us. And John here is contemplating the incredible love of God, which is his motivation in saving us, in redeeming us, in adopting us. It's his love. I suspect that in a previous age, the love of God was neglected by pulpits. In our current age, it's perhaps emphasized at the expense of his righteousness. The Bible clearly teaches both. He is utterly righteous and just, and he is coming to judge the earth. And yet, he bestows such amazing love upon us. He loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son. And we are the loved of God. We are beloved by him. And because of that amazing love, the manner of the love which the Father has given us, we are called children of God. We were children of wrath, but we are adopted. We are reckoned now as his, by him. He calls us his own. We can call him Father as he can consider us his children. And yet he goes on to say, the world does not know us. So if we are the children of God, I guess that is quite an accolade. That's a pretty impressive thing to be, you know. What a great status. In fact, I'm not sure there's anything better to be children of God. But the world does not recognize us. And that's partly because, and I look around this room tonight, we don't actually look anything special. And John goes on to say, well, the world didn't know or recognize him either. So is there any wonder that we who follow him should not be recognized? We are aliens in this world. The Bible talks about sojourners and pilgrims, people passing through. We don't really belong here anymore. We're here for a season, but in fact we're going somewhere better. We're going where we belong. We now belong with our God, for we are his children. We are on the homeward journey. So outwardly, apart from perhaps the way we behave, there is no aura or halo about our heads which would make us attractive or notable to people of the world. But that won't be forever. It says, beloved, now we are children of God. We're still children of God, even though the world does not recognize it. Because the attitude and the recognition of the world counts for nothing. Because what does God think? Does God recognize us as being his children? Well, if we believe the gospel, yes, he does. And he says, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That's intriguing. We know what we are. We are children of God. But evidently there is something that we shall be. well, what can be better than being children of God? Surely we're already what we'd like to be. John says, when he is revealed, he being Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One prayed before, we cannot see the throne of God. Sometimes it is hard to worship God. I guess that is why we close our eyes, because at least then there's no distraction. But when we close our eyes, we aren't usually given a vision of the throne of God in heaven. We simply don't need to look at that carpet. But the time is coming, says John, when he is revealed, by which I think means his return, or our journey home to heaven. When he is revealed, we shall be like him. We're not like him now, at least not as much as we ought to be, in terms of character and holiness, but maybe there is a sense also in which he's talking about glory. Christ shares his glory with his people. There is a transformation that will happen when either Christ returns or we enter heaven, if before that event. In heaven, we will be recognized for being the children of God. We're not recognized for it where we are now, except among each other. But there is going to be a change. It will be a change of character. We'll no longer be subject to temptation. We'll no longer have a sinful nature wanting to pull us down and drag us back. We will delight more in righteousness and holiness than we do now. But also, I think, we will be changed physically as well as spiritually. The sons of God are going to be revealed. And that will happen when we see him as he is now. John, of course, saw him as a human being, although there were occasions when perhaps in the book of Revelation, or at the Transfiguration, when Christ in all his glory was briefly beheld and witnessed by human eyes. Well, when we see the Lord Jesus, either at his return or when he calls us home, not only will we see him in all his glory and his splendor, but also we will be changed and transformed. No longer in an ailing body. No longer with a sinful nature. We are going to be changed. So our status was changed at our conversion. We became children of God. But physically, nothing happened. Spiritually, something did happen. Although its results are not fully experienced here on the earth, because sanctification is a process, often a long drawn out process. It doesn't happen overnight or in an instant. At least it hasn't in me. And yet look at verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him, we have that hope in him, so he's talking about us, purifies himself just as he is pure. There is a little bit of a tension here. So we are the children of God. We're not recognized in the world. Yeah, that's what we might expect. It never recognized him. Why should we fare any better? We know, though, that one day we will be utterly transformed. We'll be transformed in the way we look. We'll be transformed in the way we think. We'll be transformed in the way we operate. But verse 3, I think, is an admonition to say, don't just wait for that day to be holy. Purify yourself now. Now, of course, I might say, well, you know, I've got a sinful nature. What can you expect? But one day I will be transformed. And if you want to see a righteous, holy version of me, you need to wait until then. And in many respects, that is absolutely true. And yet, John says, if you have that hope in him, you will want to purify yourself now. You won't be content with who you are or what you are. If you love the Lord Jesus, you will want to be more like him tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, next month, not just waiting for that glorious day of transformation. So there is a sense in which God is going to change us. There is another sense in which, well, while we're here, I want to be purer than I have been. We are a people with a certain and a future hope. We are also a people who ought to have a built-in desire to glorify him now. I can't see him now, but I still want to be like him. I know I have a great future, but I want a great present. I know when I get to heaven, I won't sin. But do I want to avoid it now as well? And although it's very hard for me to stop sinning, that desire is there. So, we are children of God. That is really good news. Doesn't matter if your friends and neighbours think you're a bit odd or a bit weird or actually don't think anything about you at all. It's what does God think of you? And if you're in Christ, he regards you as his son or daughter. One day you will change. In the meantime, purify yourself. Amen.